Hello, this is Wade. You know, it's always my hope that you'll be blessed and inspired in your walk with the Lord as you listen today.
Okay, Romans 6:16, we're in this sermon series, Foundations. It's really kind of geared to those who have given their hearts to the Lord recently. But I will say this, it's not only that, but what we're going to talk about today, I think, applies to all of us, okay? And I think as we get into the Word, you'll understand why. If we're going to be transformed into the image of Jesus, then we're going to have God's help to do it, amen? It's not going to happen on its own. We can't make it happen. I tried to do that when I was a young believer. I tried to make things happen, and it just doesn't help. It doesn't help at all. In fact, I kind of got in God's way because God's the one who can transform hearts and minds. But I would say this. The first thing we have to do is we have to be rescued out of bondage. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, that's the first step, okay? And it doesn't happen unless that happens first. In the Old Testament, though, we see that Egypt is a place of bondage. And what I mean by that is it's the place that Jacob's son Joseph was sold into slavery, was in Egypt. Not only that, but when God forewarned Joseph before he died that 400 years, his people would be in bondage. They would be slaves in Egypt. But then God promised he would rescue them. And I want you to know what took place in Joseph's life and what happened to the nation of Israel also took place in all mankind when we fell in the garden and sin entered the human race. And just like God had a plan to rescue Joseph, just like God had a plan to rescue Israel, the nation of Israel, out of Egypt, God had a plan to rescue you out of the bondage that you might have found yourself in. God has a plan to rescue you from slavery that you may not be mastered by it anymore. But there's something else that you need to be aware of, and that is this. When God brought Israel out of slavery and led them where they would know the promised land, God had to change his people, transform them from being slaves with a slave mentality to free men and free women. Now, I would just anticipate that some of you are thinking, what's he talking about? Well, because when you are a slave all your life, you think like a slave. You act like a slave. And God must transform that mind and that heart to begin to believe and trust in him. To stop looking back where you were and start looking forward to where God has you going. But the problem is, when you've been a slave all your life, it's hard to make that transition, but God is going to perform it. Because when all you know is slavery, that's all you know. We read in Romans 6:16 the following, and this is from the Living Bible, just warning you. Don't you realize that you can choose your own master? You can choose sin with death, or else obedience with acquittal. The one to whom you offer yourself, he will take you and be your master, and you will be his slave. Thank God, though, you once chose to be slaves of sin, but now you have obeyed with all your heart the teaching to which God has committed to you. And you are now free from your old master sin, and you have become slaves to your new master righteousness. You see, when I was a sinner, I sinned, and I was quite good at it. It came quite naturally to me. However, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, something began to happen. I began to live a righteous life, and sin became the exception in my life. Before, sin was the rule. That was what I did. But when I got saved, it became the exception. And I sinned less and less as God began to change my mind through God's word, and he began to change my heart, and I began getting closer and closer to him. And I think it's important that we realize that God has got all of us. I don't care if you've been serving the Lord for 35 years. God's got all of us in a place where he is making that transformation in you. I just think it's amazing that when you are a slave all your life, that wicked taskmaster has not given up on you. That wicked taskmaster, we call him the enemy of your soul. You can call him Satan. You can call him the devil, whatever you want to call him. But the truth is, he's not giving up on you. He's going to keep trying. He's going to keep coming. He wants you to come back. He wants to control you. And he does this by three specific things. First, he uses false data. False data. He also uses false decisions. And he also uses false directives. First, I want you to think about this. When you are a slave, your evil taskmaster wants to limit what you know. After all, you're a slave, right? You don't need to know anything other than what he wants to tell you. And we see that in some governments today, that they limit the information that their people have. And he does the very same thing. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Screwtape Letters, a senior demon is giving a rookie demon some advice. Now, unfortunately, this rookie has allowed his man, his charge, his patient, whatever C.S. Lewis calls him, and says, you must keep away this guy, but it happens to be that this guy's charge, this demon's charge, allows him to come to Christ. And the senior demon goes, you know you're going to pay for that. But let me just encourage you a little bit. And he says this, and I quote, there is no need to despair. Hundreds of these adult converts have been reclaimed after a brief sojourn in the enemy's camp and are now with us. And then he writes this, all the habits of the patient, both mental and bodily, are still in our favor. You know what he's saying there? He's saying he is still pliable. His mind is still bendable. We can take that heart and we can turn it to stone. If we've got the tools and the ability because we know the weak spots in this person's life. There's a chance that we can have that slave back and he is not about to just let you go down the road free. That's why the Bible says that there are many that are on the road to destruction and on the straight and narrow path. Narrow is the path and few that are on it. Because there is this desire to keep every soul that Satan has. Literally, and I'm trying to make you just a little angry about this. This devil wants to keep you beaten down. He's beaten you down once. He wants to keep you beaten down. He doesn't want you to get hope. He doesn't want you to come in. So he's going to limit your information. After all, bad data equals bad decisions. I can hear that evil taskmaster just say it. You are a slave. Why do you need to know anything other than what I tell you? By controlling what you know, he's able to control you. Spiritually speaking, there's only one thing that can counteract bad information or data, and it's simply this, truthful data. Truth, the truth. The evil taskmaster does not want you to learn about life. He doesn't want you to know about the light found in God's words and his promises. One such light-filled verse is Romans 8:15. It says this, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's spirit. When he adopted you as his own children, now we call him Abba, which is Aramaic for father. With the truth and light that comes from God's word, it's hard to remain with a slave mentality. The word of God will set you free. I want to share with you something that I received just this week from one of our missionaries. I'm not going to tell you anything other than that. And this is what it said. And I quote, an older man at our church has shared many times that he struggles with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. My little dog Bridget, by God's grace, has been able to bring a smile to his face at times when he wouldn't have smiled otherwise. He has explained that he finds it impossible to read the Bible, or anything for that matter, and so he doesn't. This man became a part of a small group called the Genesis Group. It occurred to me to make a little bite-sized Bible reading plan for the first chapter in Genesis that we are studying, just two or three verses a day, and I made and printed these and tried to make them as engaging and encouraging as possible. When I shared it with the group, he saw it as a positive challenge and took it home with him. When I saw him a few days later, he had so many smiles on his face, I was shocked. He told me that he had read the two verses and went on to read the rest of the chapter. He told me that reading the Bible is helping him with his struggle against PTSD, end quote. My friends, God's word sets the captive free. It is the truth. It counteracts all the lies that you've ever heard your whole life, coming from people that you care for, people that should have cared for you but didn't, people who have lied and counterfeited, and the enemy is behind all of that. He needs to change your mind and your heart to be one of his servant. Now, the evil taskmaster that once owned you does not want you to come to know the truth of God's word. He's gonna keep you. After all, you're just a runaway slave to him. And the only thing you need to know is what he tells you. And then that should make you mad. He's been lying to you his whole life. He wants to limit your information. And the information he wants to give you is false. It's counterfeit. It's a false copy of a genuine thing. Do you understand that the devil counterfeits everything that God makes? He counterfeits it all. And we just go along like it's okay. My friends, God did everything perfectly, and it's only man's devices that have mutated it to such a terrible thing that it makes no sense at all. He wants to limit your information. He wants to limit your exposure to the light found in God's word. After all, bad data equals bad decisions. What that evil taskmaster knows is there is power and there is hope and there is life in God's words. Romans 12:2 says this, "Do not be shaped by this world. Instead, be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you'll be able to decide what God wants for you. And you will know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect." What that word tells us is you can know what God's will is. You can know the truth. He's telling you that. What's pleasing and perfect to him. You know, when Moses led the people out of Egypt, they were former slaves. They thought like slaves. They lived like slaves. When you gave your life to Jesus, you became a new creature. And here's the problem. People who are slaves all their lives, by their very nature, still in possession with that slave mentality, these people are dependent on their master. They're dependent on them for data, for directives, for decisions. And what happens is they certainly are not independent from their masters. They like to be independent, but they aren't. So what happens when slaves are suddenly set free? What happens when a new Christian comes to Christ and is suddenly set free? There's a resistance to be enslaved by something else. And here's the rub. To be set free only to become dependent on a different master is something we all resist. C.S. Lewis paints this resistance beautifully in his book, Mere Christianity. He writes this, and I quote, "Imagine turning a tin soldier into a real little man. It would involve turning the tin into flesh. And suppose the tin soldier did not like it. He is not interested in flesh. All he sees is that tin is being removed. He thinks you are killing him. He will do everything he can to prevent you. He will not be made into a man if he can help it." End quote. Now, before Jesus came, and before we asked Jesus into our lives, we are by nature very self-centered. We like to be in the center of attention, some of us. We like to be petted. We love to be admired. We want to take advantage of others to exploit what we can. And we very much want to stay away from anything that makes us feel small. C.S. Lewis describes it this way. We, and I quote, are afraid of the light and the air of the spiritual world, just as people who have been brought up to be dirty are afraid of a bath, end quote. I went to a school, I was a recruiter at a school of young men. And every year there was at least one man, young man, who had not practiced good hygiene. And you literally had to do it. My dad said we in the Navy had young sailors who would come and they had to be taught how to take a shower. Everybody appreciates that. You're never going to get married unless you figure out that secret. Okay? Just telling you. My wife is a germaphobe. She would have never allowed me to get even close to her with bad BO. Okay? I'm just telling you. I don't know why I'll even put that in there. So as someone who's recently accepted Jesus, your Lord and Savior, let's just face it, you have a lot on your plate, don't you? I mean, think about it. You have a former taskmaster that desires to have you back. He wants to rob you of this new life that you've discovered by the grace of God and acquired by the grace of God. He wants to keep you from the light of God's word because it is truthful data. His fear is that you'll begin to be set free in greater ways because of God's word. But within you, your mind and your heart must be transformed. But you've been a slave all your life. You lived with false data. You've lived with the lies. You've lived with all the false and counterfeit copies that the devil has. You have lived with false directives and false decisions. And on top of it all, you have been set absolutely free from bondage when you accepted Jesus Christ. Having said that, at the same time, you're very much like that tin soldier resisting God's attempts to transform you from this tin to flesh. You've got a lot on your plate. And I'm speaking to everybody now. Because it doesn't matter if you've been serving Jesus Christ for 30 years. God's not done with you. And he's still trying to transform you. And some of you are so stubborn you never do it. You're like that young man that would not take a bath, not realizing that wherever you go, there's a stink. You have a lot on your plate. But let me leave you with a few encouraging words, and I'm going to close. First, when it comes to knowing God, you will never find him. He finds you. That's the way it works. You can't go out and get God to find you. You can go looking all day long. Tozer said, at the end of the day, what I discovered was he was chasing me. I wasn't chasing him. And that's how it works. Jesus said it this way, John 15:16, you did not choose me, I chose you. And I gave you this work to go and produce fruit, fruit that will last. Which tells me is God has started this and he's going to finish it. God has a purpose for you. And he says right what that purpose is. It's to go. Not to stay where you are, but to go. To go and do something, right? To go and bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Fruit that will last. Last for what? Eternity. God's got high aspirations. Second, God is like a dentist. I hate to say that. God is like a dentist. You know, my wife's hardly had any dental work done at all. She's like the most meticulous flosser and everything, you know. She eats healthy. She stays away from sugar stuff. And I'm the opposite. I walk into the dentist's office, and suddenly this little cloud appears over their head. One look in my mouth, and they're like, whoa, that vacation house in Estes Park is coming. You know, you go in to a dentist, and maybe you got a tooth that's hurting you, And the dentist says, open wide. He looks in your mouth and he notices the problem, but he also notices everything else that's going on in there. When God accepted you and you accepted God and became his property, he took it seriously that when you said, I've got a problem of anger, he said, okay, let me take a look in that heart and I'll come in. And he said, whoa, not only anger, but a couple other things. What's this in the closet that you got hidden over here? He knows it all. And his purpose and his desire is to remove every one of those things. And let's face it, people, we all have a little bit of a sacred cow somewhere hidden in that closet that we want to hold on to because we really like it. I was on my motorcycle the other day and I was listening to some old stuff back from when I was before I got saved, and that Steve Miller Band came on and I started hearing that song, and I'm like, and then the Lord's like, do you really need to listen to that? And I'm like, why not? It reminds me of when I was young. It's like, I don't think you need that song. Okay, so I forwarded it out. This is Christian music. Is that better? We all have those things, don't we? Things that we remember. Isn't it true that songs take you back to a certain place in your life? Yeah, I mean, I listened to the Eagles. I'm not even going to go there. It's not uplifting God. God delivered me, okay? I praise the Lord for that. There's nothing wrong with loving music, but you got to have a balance, right? You got to have a balance. So God's like a dentist. So not only do we understand that God is the one who started this and he's going to finish it, secondly, God wants you to be like his son, and he intends to transform you all the way through. Third, God promises that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You're like, oh, everybody knows that, but it's true. Please hear me. How does a Christian believer grow? Drawing closer to God, bit by bit, every day. It may not be exciting, because God chooses to work when he chooses to work. When we are least aware of it, while we sleep, while we're driving down the road, while we come to just an average service at College Drive, God, with one phrase, with one shared comment from a brother or sister, one tiny side note of the pastor's message, God is right there working. As Pentecostals, we want to be on that mountaintop. But did you notice, as soon as Jesus had his guys up on a mountaintop, where did he take them? Back in the valley. Why? Because that's where we grow. Bit by bit. Day by day. Putting one foot in front of the other. That's how we grow. God can do some great things on the mountain. Amen? Keeps you hopeful, keeps you going. But my friends, the race is won by those who cross the line. That's all you got to do is cross the line in a good way. You know, the most greatest moments of a powerful God can be found in some of the hardest moments of our life. When you see God rescue you. It's very much like a steady march of time, almost. This first day you take your little one to kindergarten and suddenly you awake as if you dozed off, and with a blink, suddenly that little one's not little anymore. They're a young man or a young woman and they're graduating from high school and moving on, and some of our parents right here are facing some of the first seniors to leave. And it's a hard moment of adjustment. But listen to an old guy. It gets better. It gets better. You have that first grandchild, and it's a sweet deal, man. They lose all the sleep. You get to spoil that little guy. It's awesome. It's awesome. But my friends, you might wonder yourself, when did this all happen? You know the great thing about when it happens bit by bit, and transformation is nearly complete, and somehow we hardly even noticed it. That's how God works. C.S. Lewis writes this, and I quote, "The real Son of God is at your side. He is beginning to turn you into the same kind of thing as himself. He is beginning, so to speak, to inject his kind of life and thought in you, beginning to turn the tin soldier into a live man." And then he writes, "The part of you that does not like it is a part that is still tin." Is there anything in this message I said that you did not like? There you go. There's your job, to allow God to change those things. Turn your back to that evil taskmaster and do not look back. Walk away from his lies. Walk away from his counterfeits. Because if God has a plan for you, he wants you to settle for third or second best and not God's best. He'll put opportunities in your way to try to sidetrack you from where God really wants you. He is evil all the way through. And after turning your back on that taskmaster, walk every day, bit by bit, just a little closer towards God. Walk in the truth of God's word. Pray to him. Speak to him. Because good data will bring good decisions, and good decisions will help you accomplish God's directives. And somehow, some way, without you even knowing and realizing it, one day you'll wake up and you'll be like, "How did I get here? I thought I would never get to this place where I would be bending down and praying at an altar. I thought I'd never leave the comfort part of my chair and come all the way up front." Well, some people start out crazy and they get calm. Some people start out calm and then they get crazy. That's Pentecost. Somehow, some way, by God's power and God's strength, he will transform you into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come to you now in the name of Christ.
Hey, this is Pastor Wade. Thanks so much for stopping by and listening today. And like always, my prayer is that the Lord would bless you and guard your heart for that day.